morning, everybody.
Morning.
I believe it went really well last Sunday with Sam and Emily. And so thank you, everybody, for those who were able to be here and your support of Sam and Emily. Please keep your Bibles open at this passage, 16:1-9, we're going to focus on. And I'll begin by leading us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our gracious Lord, we pray that by your guiding hand, you'll help us to know your plans for us in life. So not our plans, Lord, but yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Linus has just completed Year 12 and he's currently in the middle of his HSE exams. Well done, son. He's got one left. Parents have been of great help. He's got one left. Now, recently I was sitting in Linus's Year 12, about a month ago, graduation ceremony. And it got me thinking about watching all those students walk up on stage, smiling, making plans. Some of the immediate plans, well, one of the immediate plans was, and that was their catch cry, party hard, as they kept yelling that from the stage, party hard. I had plans once, Year 12, most of them have gone up in smoke. Maybe that's the nature of planning, I don't know. What about you? What have you accomplished? How successful have you been? Some of you are thinking, well, I'm pretty young and I'm still figuring out my plans for life, and that is fine, of course. And others of you are thinking, you know, I'm not a planner at all. Doesn't come naturally to me at all, but I'm going to say, yeah, you are a planner. You're planning not to plan. That's your plan. Or as somebody once said, a failure to plan is planning to fail. Everyone's a planner. We all plan. Yeah, granted, some are significantly better than others, but we all plan on some level. Some plans succeed, while other plans that we make flop. Planning is like the card game, you know. You never know what you're going to get. You might get a wild card. Yeah, I get to choose the colour. I'm going to win this. Last card, yeah, won. Or it might be a card you receive, like pick up 2 or pick up 4 or pick up 12 or whatever it is. You never know what you're going to get. Picture. Two friends, two 17-year-old boys, two 17-year-old mates in school holidays. They're bored and they decide to go for a walk along near where they live, along the edge of a lake. When they come across an enormous tree with a huge branch overhanging the lake. And one of the mates says to the other mate, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" And they both yell at the same time, "Yeah, rope swing." That's what they're thinking. And so one of the mates, he races home to his dad's shed. He looks for the thickest rope he can find. Then he hops on his bike, rides back to the tree where the other mate is. He climbs up the tree to the huge branch. He ties a knot. Comes back to the ground and the other mate says, "I'm going to go first." And he says, "Here's my plan. I'm going to climb the tree to the highest point, and then my plan is to run along that huge tree trunk, jump off, get some speed, momentum, and just at the highest point, I'm going to let go and land in the deep end of that lake. Oh, it's going to be awesome," he says. And so that's what he does. He climbs the tree to the highest point. He runs down the huge branch, the trunk of the tree, and like Tarzan, holding on one hand, he jumps, biceps bulging. He shouts, "Check this out, girls!" By this stage, a few girls have joined. They're watching. Anyway, he's flying. He's gaining momentum. He's gaining speed. He's on his way. He's on. And then crack. He plummets to the ground below, to the dirt, to the hard surface. He lands on his bottom. It hurt. He's bruised. He's embarrassed. He cries, "What happened?" He looks at the rope. It's thick. It's fine. He cries again, "What happened?" He looks up at the tree trunk. It's sturdy as. Then it hit him. His mate can't tie a knot to save a life. You know, you might be the finest, the strongest planner there is, but you never know what you're going to get. When you plan, there's always a level of uncertainty. And that's why every believer should ask the question, how should I plan? And this is why Proverbs is pivotal in answering that question. It is filled with insight that helps us to know how to plan a life, a believer's life. And so in chapter 16, 1 to 9, which we read, this sets it up. Chapters 16 to 30 is examples of wise and foolish planning. Here's an exercise I recommend for you. Go for a walk. Take out your phone. Open your Bible app. I'm sure all of you have got a Bible app on your phone, yeah? If not, download one. Open your Bible up. Plug it in. Put in the earphones. As you're walking, listen in one walk to chapters 16 to 30 and picture examples of wise planning and foolish planning. I did that last week, and it's terrific. It's very helpful, and I recommend it. But we don't have time to do focus on 16 to 30 examples, so what we're just going to do is look at the setup, verses 1 to 9. And here is the outline for the talk. We're going to look at 3 points. Plan, how to plan a life. Plan like a sub-planner. So planning is not under fire. Okay? Planning is important as a believer, but plan like a sub-planner. The second point, verses 4 to 6, is plan with His purpose. See the capital H? That is God. His purpose. And then we'll end with plan with Jesus is Lord. This is critical. Jesus is Lord. So we'll look at each in turn. We begin with a plan like a sub-planner. God expects His people to plan. Weddings, holidays, baby showers, church camps, whatever. God expects His people to plan. Planning is a part of life. God wants His people to be filled with His word, the Bible, and make plans. There's a movement, you might have heard of it. It goes something like this: let go, let God. In other words, it means let go is don't think, don't plan, just let God. That is not biblical. The biblical approach is we are to read the Bible, we are to be filled with God's word. It is to renew our mind, Romans 12, it is to renew our mind, and it is to shape the plans that we make. But here's the catch. And I think sometimes as believers we miss this, but it's an important thing. We are not the main planners. We are the sub-planners. And so if you have your Bibles open, you'll see in the text, 1 to 3, the plans of the heart
You know, they're, we care about our plans. We love our plans. Verse 1, they belong to us, close to our heart. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, verse 2. Sorry, verse 1. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That means the Lord has the last word on our planning. He is the main planner. See, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we make plans and we're selfish. We look at our plans and we think, yeah, that's the right choice. All my plans are fair and wholesome and on the right track. But only God knows what's going on deep down. Or as it says in verse 2, it is the Lord who weighs the spirit. He is the main planner. Now, of course, if we want our plans to succeed, we've got to commit our plans to the Lord and commit them. Verse 3, commit your work to the Lord means align your plans with his word. So align your plans with the main planner. When you do that, your plans will be established. A little bit like in the Gospels, when Jesus said to the disciples, whatever you ask in my name will be done. Basically saying, if you ask in my name, it aligns with my word, and aligns with my will, it will be done. And so you can see the idea of reading the word, having it fill our mind, shape our plans, it will be done. It says that in verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. We are sub-planners, not the main planner. Now, if you would, I want you now to imagine a rich man, an owner of a large acreage, with a stately mansion on this large acreage and a long driveway. He looks at his driveway, thinks, this is really boring. I need to refurbish the surrounds of this driveway. And so he decides to that he wants along the length of his driveway a row of lily pillies trees. Okay, lily pillies. That's what he wants. And so he sets about, he looks for, and he hires a labourer. He finds the labourer he wants. He's got good Google reviews. He finds this labourer. He says, here's what I want you to do. See my long driveway? I want you to plant lily pillies along the full length of this driveway. I'm going on vacation, and when I get back, I'm looking forward to having a look what you've done. And so the labourer, he sets to work. He goes about his work. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to plan. He knows how to water. He knows how to line it up and prune, whatever needs to be done if these advanced trees. Sets about. And then a week later, the owner of the property returns. He enters the front gate and he begins driving up his long driveway. And he cries, where are my lily pillies? He keeps driving up the long driveway and he cries out again, where are my lily pillies? He sees the labourer off in the distance. He drives over to him. He says to the labourer, where are my lily pillies? And the labourer says, I planted them. He looks around at his long driveway down the... No, you didn't. And the labourer says, yes, I did. He says, follow me. And so the labourer hops in his ute and he drives down the street to a neighbour's property and to his neighbour's long driveway. And he says, there. I planted them there. I thought about it, the labourer says, and I thought they'd look better here. That was my plan. Do you think that labourer will be hired again? Do you think that labourer will be paid? No. Because at best, he might know a thing or two about planting, but at best, he is only a sub-planner. The owner is the main planner. In the same way, God is the main planner. We are the sub-planner. You know, I've been a pastor for a little while, and I've noticed, one of the things I've noticed, and I can see it affecting me as well, is we live in a very individualistic society, and I think it has, and I've seen a rise in despair in the church, And I think it's got a lot to do with planning. What happens is, even in the church, we make our plans. Here's what we want to do. Here's what I want to do. Here's where I want to go. Here's what I want to feel through what I do. And then God interrupts our plans. And we can't handle it. And we get despair, and some of us even get depressed. It's because we have forgotten that at best, we are sub-planners. God is sovereign over the house. At best, we're in the corner of a little room shuffling papers, pushing cushions around the room. But God is sovereign over the whole house. He is the one who establishes our steps. And so, how to plan a life. The first thing we are to remember that planning is important. This is what God wants to do, but we are not the main planner. We are the sub-planner. And if we want to experience Christian joy, Christian contentment, then I, especially, and you guys, we all need to work at remembering that He has final say in our direction. Okay, the second thing we look at is how to plan a life. Verse 4 to 6 is plan with His purpose in mind. And so God, Genesis makes very clear, God is the creator. And verse 4, it says, He made everything for its purpose. Everything for its purpose. Nothing is meaningless. Everything has a purpose. Someone says, what, even evil? Yeah, even evil. The purpose of evil is trouble, the day of trouble. The purpose for evil, the purpose not of, but for evil, is trouble, wrath. See that in verse 4. Purpose even for the wicked, for the day of trouble. And verse 5, in case we missed it, we read, anyone who's arrogant in heart is an abomination, is a disgust to the Lord. Be assured He will not go unpunished. Again, nothing is meaningless. Even evil has its purpose. Day of trouble, day of wrath. But for us, we like, it's good to focus on the more positive side of things. And verse 5 talks about the purpose of God's steadfast love. And so if life is stressful, it is out of control, and it's falling apart, we should always be quick to turn to the Lord, because he is the one who makes our, who fixes our feet, who brings peace to our minds, brings things under control quickly, fastly, steadfast love, yeah, like steady, quickly. And then there's a purpose also in verse 5 of faithfulness. God is faithful to His promises. He promises in the Bible that He will atone for iniquity or for the sins of people. Through faith in Him, that His people, through faith in Him, will fear the Lord and turn from evil. So He has a purpose in mind. He's made everything for its purpose. And so therefore, we ought to plan with His purpose in mind. And so when we pray, Lord, You've given me these gifts. What is Your purpose for this? I need to make a plan. What is Your purpose for this? Lord, You've given me these abilities. Lord, You've given me a job. You've given me money. I pray, what is Your purpose for this? Lord, You've given me a family. What is Your purpose for me in this? You know? Lord, You've given me the opportunity to come to church. What is Your purpose? We should always pray, Lord, what is Your purpose in this? I was talking to someone recently. And this fella, he was travelling overseas, and I asked him, what's his reason for going? In a roundabout way, I was saying, what's the purpose? What the purpose is for travelling? He said, well, God has given him a very stressful job, and he's very happy about that, but he needs his rest, and he believes that God's purpose is for him to take his rest, and he's going to take that through travelling. And he also said that he believed that God wants him to be thankful for creation and that he's about to experience around the world. Be thankful for being able to see creation So that's what he believed God's purpose in that travelling experience was. And then I was thinking of a couple more examples, such as someone I know over the years who's he is very wealthy. And over the years I've discovered that God has given him money because God's purpose for him, and he believes this in his heart, is to be generous to those believers who don't have nearly as much as he has. So he gives money to Bible camps and disadvantaged kids in a variety of situations. And that in his, that's the purpose God has given him in that situation. Or I think of a lady in a very stressful job. And in a roundabout way, I asked her, you know, what's God's purpose for your life in that job? Just a few years ago. And she said she believes God's purpose is for when the environment is stressful and everyone's snapping at each other in that situation, she is to offer that gentle word, that kind word, and everybody loves her because she's so sweet. That's God's purpose for her in that situation. Or on the radio this week, Hope 103.2, they were talking about Halloween, and this lady got up and she rang up. And she said, oh, you know, my family, my children and I have been invited to go to a children's Halloween party. And we don't really want to go. It's not what we want because we believe that Halloween has many dark elements and we don't want to go. We prayed about it and we believe God's purpose for us is to go. His purpose is he wants us to build relationships and take every opportunity. She said this on the radio, take every opportunity to evangelize. And so her plan was to go. That was God's purpose for her family and her kids in that situation. So when we plan with his purpose in mind. And I think one of the reasons we don't pray is because we are worried that God's purpose, whatever that might be, is going to be super undesirable. It's going to be something we don't like. And so we'd rather keep our purposes and our plans away from God just in case he does something we don't like. But we've got to remember that whenever God has purpose for us, what he's looking for and what it's connected to is the fruit of this Holy Spirit. So whatever God's bringing into our lives, whether it's study or work or trial or whatever the situation, what he's looking for is that we will bring out in us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We think of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all those sort of things, self-control, gentleness. That's not a bad thing. That is not undesirable. That's a good thing. That is what God wants for us. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to be patient. He wants us, and so he puts us through this, and his purpose for us is that we exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we should say, it is good to pray to the Lord as I plan. What is your purpose for this or what I'm going through or what I have? How to plan a life. We plan with his purpose in mind. And lastly, we plan with Jesus is Lord. Verses 7 and 9. This is critical. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord means we are right with God. Not wrong, running away, but we are right with God. We are reconciled to God. Not one time we were enemies, but now we are reconciled to God. We are in relationship with God. That is why we pray in Jesus' name, because we're in relationship with God. An unbeliever, if they throw up a prayer, it's not in Jesus' name because there's no relationships. It's God, if you're there, here's what I want. Bye. Not the Christian. Christian in Jesus' name. We're in relationship with God. We're not better. It's just by God's grace we've been. Our minds have been opened and we can see that we are in relationship with God because of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. We go to verse 7. It says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord. We think of Hebrews 11. Without faith in Jesus, it's impossible to please the Lord. So we know that pleasing the Lord fulfilled is about faith in Jesus. And then verse 8. better is a little with righteousness. And again, we know that from Romans 3, no one is righteous, not even one. All have turned away. So how are we going to be righteous? Proverbs fulfilled is about faith in Jesus. It's about having his righteousness. It's better to have a little in this world with the righteousness of Jesus than to have a lot and be an unbeliever. So it's better, to bring it to our modern situation, it's going to be a better life for you eternally if you live in a rundown apartment with Jesus as Lord than live in a stately mansion an unbeliever. It's better to drive a secondhand Honda that breaks down all the time with Jesus as Lord than to drive a brand new spanking Tesla an unbeliever. It's better, when you plan for life, remember this, it is better to be single for the rest of your life with Jesus as Lord than to be married with many kids an unbeliever. It's better to never win the lotto or never even enter the lotto with Jesus as Lord than to win the jackpot, the Powerball, the big one, an unbeliever. It is when you plan your life, it is better to be only able to tick off a couple of items on your bucket list with Jesus is Lord than to have the opportunity to tick off every single item on your bucket list an unbeliever. The US election is in a couple of days. It would be better to stack shelves in a little rural town in the back of Arkansas with Jesus is Lord than to be president of the United States an unbeliever. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than a lot as an unbeliever. So when we plan, we keep this in mind. What is critical is Jesus is Lord. And I think I said this one a couple of months ago. I'll say again, an example of a lady when I heard her testimony. She got a job in a remote situation. It was a fantastic opportunity to work in this remote location. She really wanted to do it. She prayed about it, she thought about it, she asked friends, etc. And in the end, she decided, no, she's not going to do it because there is no suitable church to go to. And what is most important is to know that Jesus is Lord and to be able to attend a church that will build her up in Christ. She said no. Again, verse 8, better a little in this life, even missing out, than lots an unbeliever. Now, of course, please understand, I am not saying that if you set out to plan, it's going to be big and you might just get it, it's exactly what God wants. Of course, I'm not saying either or, but I'm just saying what Proverbs 16, chapter 16, 30 is teaching, if you have a choice, you make sure you plan. Even if you miss out, you make sure you plan with the priority that Jesus is Lord is what matters most. And so there I was in Linus's year 12 graduation ceremony. Oh, it was a long ceremony. Went for 3 hours at Menai High. Something like 300 students, almost. I don't know, 500 parents and friends. The hall was packed. Finally, it finished. The plan was to leave the hall of Menai High and walk to the library. As we stepped outside the hall, it began pouring, belting down rain. It was raining cats and dogs. Actually, maybe laptops and HSC textbooks. It was raining heavily. And because it's public education, shelter was minimal. And the plan from the teachers was everyone was to gather in the school library, and where parents and teachers, parents and students could meet and have morning tea. Now, the library, correct me, Linus, later if I was wrong, it's not much bigger than this room because it's public education, so it's not very big. And so, as you can imagine, not much shelter, not much room in the library. A lot of the parents, a lot of the students were soaked, saturated from all the rain. And this got me thinking, you can make plans for a sunny day. You can make plans to party hard in life. But in the end, it is God, and the believer should know this, it is God who establishes our steps. And so we see in verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Or consider Jesus. Jesus came, he began his ministry. His followers were delighted. His followers thought, yeah, finally, Israel, preeminent, once again amongst the nations. Kick out those Romans and all their awful taxes. That was their plan. That was not God's plan. God's plan was to send his son, Jesus, to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And God's plan succeeded, not man's plans, because God is the main planner. We at best are sub-planners. Let's pray.